Woe to the teachers of the law, the day of the saints is here. Woe to the teachers.
Welcome to God News Network, where the saints are rising, where we are here to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints.
Are you a saint? How do you find out? By listening to God News Network and, of course, the Holy Spirit. I am so excited about today as we have an opportunity to share with you something that is probably one of the most misunderstood situations there is, and that is, what is the purpose of the money in the church? What is the purpose of the money in the church that's been collected? I bet if we ask 10,000 Christians, we might get 10,000 different answers. With me is my brother and Saint Albert. How are you doing, brother?
I'm great, Rick. Great.
Let's dive right into this as we show some really new revelation that people might be like, what is going on there? We're in Ezekiel 34, and Ezekiel has the word of the Lord that comes to him. And I'm going to switch to something a little easier to read for everyone right now. And it says, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? Let's discuss shepherds first, because shepherds of Israel, they were, if you think about the people in Israel who were shepherds, they were the ones that were the Pharisees that Jesus himself was coming strongly against, because they were teachers of the law, but not doers of the law themselves, right?
Yeah.
So what are your take on who these shepherds are, Albert?
Well, you know, like you said, it was the priesthood, really, of Israel, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And those controlled everything, the temple and everything, and they controlled, in fact, the food that was coming into the temple, which was, you know, the 10th, you know, and as we know, when the Bible talks about 10th, you know, those offerings were three offerings, actually. One was, two of them were yearly offerings, and one was every 3 years when you talk about those offerings. This right here in Ezekiel, it's not the first time that God talks to this people, to the leaders. In fact, Malachi, the letter of Malachi that's always used against the parishioners, that was a letter directed at these leaders. What they were doing is that, you know, the offerings were coming in, the Titan offerings were coming into the temple, and basically they were keeping it and letting go of scraps. And so God is real upset at these people, telling them, hey, you know, you guys are not feeding my sheep. You guys are keeping everything. And not just that you're not feeding my sheep, it's that the Gentiles are looking at this and are saying, talking bad things about me. In other words, bad things about God, you know, because it was ridiculous. You know, I mean, can you imagine being a Gentile at that time and talking, seeing all these Hebrewites talking to each other about how great that God is, and they can't even eat at the temple. So, you know, it was ridiculous what was happening. And there's a lot of letters written specifically to these leaders. And not just in that time, but even in Jesus' times. I mean, some of these leaders, actually, when the church was almost formed, just before Jesus' death, some of these leaders came to Jesus and asked him about, you know, about tithes and all that. And it was Peter and Jesus there together. And they asked Peter, you know, does your master get, you know, does he give tithes, you know? And Jesus heard that. And when Peter comes inside and he was about to tell Jesus, the first thing that Jesus says to Peter is, Jesus, he goes, Peter, does the sons of the kings pay tithes or tax? And Peter says, no. He goes, Peter, neither do we. But just so you won't offend them, just go ahead. And as you know the story, catch that fish and take those coins out of his mouth and give it for him and for both of us. And so there's many stories, many stories about the money issue and about the collection of the food in the temple that Jesus and not just Jesus, but you look at the book of Acts, and you're seeing basically the same thing over and over again. There's a point in the book of Acts where people come up to the leaders and tell them and telling them that that there was widows and everything in the church that weren't receiving their share. I wonder why. Where was that money going to, you know?
Well, you know the story of him, you know, when he was approached about paying taxes, and he says, neither do we, because we are sons of the king.
That's right.
But then he acted out of love and saying, we don't want to offend them, so go ahead and catch these fish and all the coins in their mouth, just hand to them. Yeah. And I mean, what a slap in the face to those there to collect money. Can you imagine how they must have felt? They're there collecting money, and this guy says, you're going to pull it out of the fish's mouth that you catch. If that isn't a sign that he's God in the flesh, what is a sign that he's God in the flesh?
That's incredible. Yeah.
But he still loved them enough not to offend them and said, there, go ahead and give it so we don't offend them. Mm-hmm. So anyway, as we continue this, it says, you eat the curds, you know, talking about the shepherds. You clothe yourselves with wool, slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. Have you not strengthened the weak? Or healed the sick, bound up the injured? You have not brought back. He's saying you have not done this. You've not strengthened the weak. You've not healed the sick. You've not bound up the injured. You've not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You've ruled them harshly and brutally. What makes people, how are they ruled harshly and brutally? It's something that's against them that hurt them. It's the law, right? So, if you're listening, it's the law that's harsh. It's the law that's, you know, that's just brutal.
That's correct, Rick. Just think about the major churches that we have in the United States and what is it that they use to collect the money or the offerings inside of the church. And it's the law. It's always it's the law.
It's the you have to give your 10%. Mm-hmm. And some of you churches out there are not going to like what we're talking about today, but we're not here to please you. We're here to share the love of God to his flock. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. The people were scattered because there was no shepherd. The flock was scattered. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. I think in the King James it says wolves. So the sheep became, you know, food for the wolves. And the wolves are those people out there that can take advantage of them because they were scattered and then, you know, they weren't loved in the church. They weren't, you know, given the love of Jesus Christ. My sheep wandered all over the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth and no one searched or looked for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because my flocks lack a shepherd and so has been plundered and has become food for all the wild animals, and because my shepherds did not search for my flock, but cared for themselves rather than for my flock. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds and will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths, and it will no longer be food for them. Here's something really interesting God told me about this. How did Jesus remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves?
He became the shepherd himself of the sheep.
At the cross.
One. Yes, he attended the sheep.
Yeah. So this has already been fulfilled.
Yeah.
And he is the shepherd. And therefore, if you feel you're under a shepherd who is doing what we are reading, then you have to wake up. You have to realize you're not. Wake up. There's a new shepherd in town, and he says he will rescue from their mouths, and it will no longer be food for them. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. You know, this applies to you and me, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We were rescued, right?
That's correct. This right here, you know, is talking about, of course, Israel. But if you look at the book of Revelations and you look at other New Testament books, this is still going on, and it will continue on going until the end of the ages. I mean, you got to be blind in order to not see what's going on today in religion. And the whole Bible talks about this. The whole Bible talks about this people coming into the churches and so forth. And they're leaders. Unfortunately, they're leaders. And they're misusing their position, either because of ignorance or malice or both, for their advantage, and it's bad. It's bad because, again, like in the old times with the Hebrews, in Malachi, if people want to read Malachi, so they will have a good understanding to what Malachi is all about. That is about the leaders. You know, the leaders were making God and their people and his people look foolish. And that's what's occurring today. I mean, there is some people that don't care about God out there today. I mean, don't get me wrong, but there's a majority of people that are searching for God, and they're coming into these temples that we have put up and searching for God there. And what they have found is that neither they're being fed spiritually, their feeding is made by men's hands with all kinds of lights and wrong teachings about, not even gospel teachings, because when the Bible says that you put together the gospel with law, it comes out to, well, I'm not going to say what Paul talks about that, because but it's not a good word, let me tell you. And what comes out of it is not good either. And that's what we've been feeding these people. And then not just that, Christ says that you will know them by the way they love each other. And you go to church and you see people in churches, the saints, that are going in hunger, they're in need. They're the ones who were supposed to be guided by the Spirit, so they could, in their neighborhoods and all that, bring out the love of God. And there's no money for them. That money that was supposed to be coming in the church, you could see it all over the book of Acts. And even in the Old Testament, you could see it. That money that was supposed to be coming into the church or to the temple was supposed to be a money to help the people. Or the food to help the people. But what's happening, just like it happened in the days of the temple, is that they were using that money for other things, and the people were the last thing that they had their thoughts on. So what happens is that at the end of the day, nobody in the church gets help. Money gets spent in the buildings. Money gets spent in high salaries for the people working there, and then the rest of the money gets sent to Africa, okay, or somewhere else, instead of seeing if the needs of their people are being met, and that's occurring in a lot of churches in the United States. I mean, a lot of churches. And, of course, I don't want to continue on, so you could continue reading this, but this is mainly the focus of this.
Well, before we go back to where we were, I want to jump to Matthew here real quick because this is really important. It says in Matthew 25, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as shepherd separates sheep from the goats. What's really interesting is earlier on, he is talking about the end of times as well, and he says, let the wheat and the chaff grow together. So that's the sheep and the goats. Let them grow together until we are gathering them up for the barn, and then I'll separate them. He's saying, I'll take care of that. Yeah. That's going to be me, he says. Yeah. And here it is. He says that we're going to separate them from each other. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance and the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. There is a physical thing that he's talking about, and there's a spiritual depth he's talking about here. And what God shared with me when he said, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. What? There's physical food and spiritual food. Did Jesus, was he more concerned about the physical or the spiritual?
I think that the spiritual was the main concern, but the physical is a shadow of the spiritual.
Yes. Yes, I understand that totally with you. If you look at, you know, Jesus, he spoke in parables all the time. He was literally trying to talk about spiritual like 99% of the time. But he healed people. He put his hands on them. He healed them. He took care of the sick. He drove out the demons. He did all those kind of things. And in Matthew chapter 10, he tells the law teachers, those who are of the kingdom of God, that were teachers,
the Pharisees and the Sadducees.
No. Let me go there real quick. Let me go to Matthew chapter 10. I want to show you this. I think it's chapter 10, verse 5. Okay. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles. They had a specific message that was not to go to the Gentiles or enter any town Samaritan. So the 12 disciples were never told to go to the Gentiles. They were told specifically, do not go to the Gentiles. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. Mm-hmm. Okay? So the lost sheep of Israel were those who were the Jews, basically. Mm-hmm. Okay? And as you go, proclaim the message, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. He's wanting them to do exactly what he did there. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you on your belts. No bag for the journey or extra shirts, sandals, or staff. The worker is worth his keep. He will get what he needs when he's out there doing whatever he does. Mm-hmm. The reason I bring that up, and going back to Matthew 25, 36, getting down here. When he puts the sheep on his left, the sheep on his right. This is a spiritual thing. I see this as a complete spiritual thing. Not that you shouldn't do the physical thing. That's not what I'm saying. Because if you've got somebody hungry and God puts it on your heart to feed them, feed them. If God puts it on your heart to give money to somebody, give money to somebody. That's between you and him. You hear his voice. You have access to him. If he tells you to do something, do it. But this is not a command to you go out and find all these hungry people and find all these thirsty people, because there's different ways to feed. For example, if I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. That's what we're doing, right?
Yeah.
We're giving them food to eat. And Jesus said to the woman at the well, I have water that if you drink of, you'll never thirst again. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. He's talking about him, the blood of Christ. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I was an outsider and you asked me to get saved. You brought me in. I needed clothes. What's he talk about? The clothes of righteousness. You clothed me with the clothes of righteousness because you shared me with them. I was sick and you looked after me. I didn't, you know, I was living off the world. I was going back and forth between the world and God. I was in prison and you came to visit me. He calls the law a prison. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when do we do these things? He said, when you see a stranger and invited you in, needed clothes and clothed you, when did we see you do this? He says, when did we see you in sick or prison for you? He says, the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.
That's correct. And that's that right there. I mean, it's he says it in other ways. You know, the church is the body of Christ. The saints and the church is the body of Christ. So exactly. When you do something to the saints, you're doing it to Christ. Because Perfect. We are actually the body of Christ.
Perfect.
So if you have people in the church that are in need and there's money coming into the church and you're not doing, guess what God is going to tell you? He's going to tell you that my body was in need and you did not came and help him with the sickness, help him with the food. If you had two clothes or two jackets and you saw that brother that was cold and you didn't give him that other jacket, you did not give it to Christ. You know, it's amazing that that we have spiritual leaders that don't understand this.
No, but they want to use the money to build more buildings. They want to use money to do this. Wait a minute. We're supposed to take the money in and go out and help the saints, just exactly like you did. And then they got people inside their church that are truly starving to death. They don't have enough money to even survive. You know, what did everybody do during the time of Peter and them? They just brought all their goods in there and gave them in and said, we're all going to live. We're all going to survive together.
Yeah, and I understand that at that time in the book of Acts, when that happened, I understand that those people did what they did because they thought it was the end of the world, and I understand that. But they were still following a concept that was all the way back from the beginning that God or Christ was teaching his people, even through the Jews. And that is about helping the helpless. That's what Christ came to do. And that's what Christ ordered us to do. He said, you know, I want you, this is a commandment that I want you to do. Love one another as I loved you. You see? And that, by the way, that loving one another is not a pat in the back like we always do in church and say, oh, I'm going to pray for you, my brother. I could see that you haven't eaten in 3 days, but I'm going to pray for you. That's not what it is. And the money coming into the church has to be used for that. It cannot be put on single saints to go out and do the job of the body. That body has to do it together because a single saint cannot do it.
A single saint. That's Albert Delgado. That's Saint Rick. Saint Albert, that's you. You are a single saint. No matter what you've been told, if you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, was buried, and rose 3 days later, you're a saint. You're not worthless. You're not hopeless. You know, here at God News Network, the saints are rising. Why? Because the truth is getting out. We're not here to tickle your ears with all the news of the day. There's ministries that's what they're supposed to do because maybe God called them to do it. But not us. We're here to give you God news. True news that is God news. It is here to share the greatest news on the planet, and that is you have been made a saint by the blood of Jesus Christ. Some focus on that you're guilty because of all the mistakes you can't seem to stop making of the flesh. Well, for you who teach that to the flock, let me give you a warning. You will be held accountable for making the law the whipping post for them. They are free because of Jesus. They are a saint because of Jesus. You are holy because of Jesus. Listen not to any teaching other than the one that you have been taught, as it says in Galatians. There is no other gospel, just the gospel of Christ. Not the gospel of Christ plus you better stop sinning. Doesn't work that way. The gospel of Christ is the love of God in the flesh on the cross just for you. If you haven't accepted him, this is your chance to do so. Repeat after me. Say, I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. He was buried 3 days and rose to victory for me. And I accept him as my Lord and as my Savior. For if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you are saved. Romans 10, 9 and 10. You now are a saint. St. Albert, thank you so much for no matter what obstacles come to you throughout the day, you are loyal. And I want to thank you very much for being here on God News Network each and every week and helping feed the flock. Thank you, brother. Have a blessed and glorious day.